that are kind of a given, this scripture. And today as we talk about God's love for us and our love for God, this scripture kind of pops up all the time. So we hear from 1 John 4:7-5:3. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who knows love is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God abides in us, and God's love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us the Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because God first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brother or sister whom they have seen, cannot love God whom they've not seen. The commandment we have from God is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we are children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey God's commandments, and God's commandments are not burdensome. May we take this word to our heart and let it churn and work in our lives. I worked for many years with a minister, pastor, who specialized in recovery ministry. He had a real passion for it, and often I would go to the recovery services and just listen to the message he had and see how that message transformed people. And if I heard him say this once, I heard him say it 100 times. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you there. My friend wanted everyone to know that God's love was unconditional and that God loved everyone deeply. But he also wanted them to know that God would love them into greater and greater becoming if they were attuned to God's transformational love. And it might seem strange to say that God loves you just the way you are and loves you too much to leave you there. But isn't that what parents do? They love their kids unconditionally, but they want so much more for them. That's what God wants for us. And I've probably never seen transformation so evident in people's lives as I was able to witness in those people's lives where they had hit rock bottom. And then they experienced the love of God and started to believe that God loved them, and they let it in and their lives changed. Perhaps the most unique thing about Christians is that we have always contended that God loves us unconditionally. That no matter what we do, or how dark our lives get, or whatever darkness is stirring around inside of us, or guilt or whatever, that God sees all of those things and still loves us exactly the way we are, without expecting more of us in order to be lovable. Doesn't mean that God doesn't desire more, but God doesn't expect us to be something else in order to be lovable. Why does God love us? Some days I think that's a good question. Because as our scripture reminds us, God is love. God cannot do anything but love us and love all of creation, because that's who God is. Karl Rahner, a 20th century theologian and Jesuit priest, said that the devout Christian of the future will either be a mystic, someone who has experienced something, or will cease to be anything at all. He wrote these words in the 1960s, and I still think there is truth in them. And what he was saying was that Christianity will not survive by people just going to church and believing in God. Christianity will only survive if we experience God's love in our lives, if we have an experience of God's love. In this modern age of science and research and facts, we are becoming more suspicious of any experience that cannot be explained by science. And this is such a great loss to our society. There is so much mystery in the world that we will never understand or comprehend, including love itself. Such a mystery to me. And beauty and hope and how Bluetooth works. And we need to recover the sense of mystery and awe that comes with knowing that there are things we will never understand, nor do we need to understand them. But we just need to stand in front of that sunset or that tree or that river and be in awe. To recognize that life itself is a mystery and a miracle. And the fact that we could be loved by anyone, let alone God, is sometimes the greatest mystery of all. Our scripture reminds us that our capacity to love is possible only because we are loved first. Because God loved us into life and has provided us with what we need, we now have that capacity to love others. And because God is love and we are made in God's image, our nature too is love. I said last week that I don't believe that the human capacity to love unconditionally is inherent to us as human beings. Yes, we will love people. We will love those who are closest to us, our family and our friends and even our church community. But that capacity to love our enemies and those we profoundly dislike does not come naturally to us. We need something supernatural in our lives. And that gift comes from being loved by God and from loving God in return. Have you experienced that kind of love? Have you experienced it? Do you know from the bottom of your heart that you are deeply loved? That you matter? That you really are cared for? It's a hard one to get our minds around sometimes. I'm going to ask you now to turn to someone or someone's near you, make sure nobody's left out, and tell them not just with your words, but with heart in it, you are loved. Find somebody around you and tell them. Now, just take a moment to let that soak in. We just can't say it. Let it, like, open up. I said it to Winton, don't let it trickle in. Make it a waterfall. Let that just flow in. You are loved. You are loved. You are loved. We say that often in the church, that God loves us. And then we go on to do all kinds of other things, as if that wasn't the most important thing. But I want to go one step further today. There's another aspect to this statement that I really wish and want you to hear, because it's the correlate to the statement, God loves you. And it's this: I am lovable. Sometimes that's the harder one to say. I am lovable. You know, sometimes in our lives we get caught up in this idea that there's something about us or something we've done or some core error in our being that doesn't make us lovable. And that's tough, because if we get that stuck in our brains, that's hard to get rid of. We can tell other people that they're loved, but we have a hard time believing that we're lovable. I want you to take a moment just to ponder that, to say to yourself, I really am lovable. You can let the other stuff drop away. God knows, and God still loves you, but to just to say, I'm lovable. Can you feel it? Now this is the hard part. The other part was easy. I want you to turn to somebody around you as well. Don't leave anybody else. Don't forget Curtis. He's up there. And say to the people around you, I am lovable. Not you are lovable. I want you to say, I am lovable. Lovable. You absolutely are. I am lovable. How'd that go? A little harder. It's easy for someone to say God loves you. It's harder to say sometimes with conviction, I am lovable. We too often get tangled up in those ways that we failed, but we've all failed. That's okay. We've not lived up to expectations. We've done some things that we don't like. But please believe me when I say today, you are not only loved by God, you are lovable. A Christian story not only reminds us that God is love and that God loves us, but it takes that love one step further, different than any other tradition. Say that God actually loved us so much that God entered into human form and came to show us what love looks like. God shows up as Jesus to model love and show us how to be love in the world. And what does that look like? Well, look at Jesus and you'll find out. It looks like healing. That's what God's love looks like. It looks like acceptance of the broken and the outcast and even criminals on a cross. It looks like giving up the things of this world in order to immerse ourselves in things that give life. Jesus is love incarnate, we proclaim. And that's our calling as well. To be a mystic, just an everyday mystic, is to know the truth in our deepest being and to live a life guided by the truth of God rather than be guided by the small g gods of the world. And it is to return that love. Not only by loving God, but as Scripture reminds us, the way we love God is through loving others. In the church, we tell people that they're loved and they should be loving. The best of any religion, no matter what it is, teaches people how to love and express love and receive love in a transformative way. Because you cannot legislate love. You can only experience it and give it if you know it yourself. Because if we know it, we extend that love and grace to others, and we are generous with our love. Do you know that we wouldn't need any rules or laws about how to treat other people if our society knew how to love better? I had that aha moment this summer when I was reading The Meaning of Happiness by Alan Watts. And he wrote that morality itself is an expression of love. It's not God's will that we be moral people. He said that morality is just the outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. That if we knew how to love well, we wouldn't have to make rules about how moral we should be. That inward grace is the love of God received and experienced. And when we truly know that love, not by faith, but by experience in our hearts, then we are truly able to share it with the world. That outward expression of love, that grace, is that we will treat people with such love that they too will experience the love of God. May we know this love, and may it truly transform us. Let's just take a moment for reflection. Often our expression of love in the world is praise of God and thanksgiving. So we're going to join together in singing. I invite you to stay.